In the epistle to the Galatians, chapter 2 and the 20th verse. The epistle to the Galatians, the second chapter and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. In his address unto the churches of Galatia, we find that he uses a very different method of introduction unto them. In the other epistles, namely to the church at Ephesus and at Colossae, you find that he so commences his introduction with the words that he is writing to them that are in Christ, that he is writing to the faithful in Christ Jesus. No such salutation precedes that which he brings forth in this epistle unto the churches at Galatia. But he does direct their minds and their hearts straight away unto the source of every blessing and every favor that is bestowed upon them, even in and through one person. And therefore he says, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. You will oftentimes note that in his epistles, he is again and again rendering unto God the glory that is due unto his name for all that has been made known unto him and to others concerning this great mystery, which is made known unto all them who are born again of the Spirit. And so here he takes us to the very source. He takes us to the very fountain of all that a sinner may indeed be the recipient of in the eternal grace of God toward him. And in consequence of that grace, there is the reconciliation unto God, that he is no longer an enemy of God, but that he is brought into a sweet and a blessed relationship unto God, and the consequent peace, peace drilling in the heart to that individual. The great source, he says, it is according to the will of God and our Father. Everything that relates unto your salvation, he declares, has its source and its origin in God and in God alone. It is not found in man. Whatever man may do, whatever he may essay so to attempt to do, it will all fail. He is utterly unable to save his own soul. And the only reason that salvation is proclaimed is by reason of that great grace which is made manifest in God the Father, whereby, according to his own will, he was pleased so to draw up this wonderful plan of salvation. It is a marvelous thing to remember, and remember that in our text there is a very personal touch. It is a wonderful thing to remember that before the foundation of the world, before time began, God knew everyone that he had so set apart to be the inheritors of those blessings which he would communicate unto them through the person and work of the Son of God. They would be brought to know them by the Holy Spirit's teaching. Then in everything that relates unto our salvation, we are utterly and entirely dependent upon that will and that purpose of God in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful thing for you to know that your name, if you are a real Christian, that your name was recorded in connection with all that he set apart his Son unto this work of atonement and redemption, that your name was there and then inscribed and recorded upon the very heart of him who was to be the representative of all those whom the Lord so designed to bring unto himself. That you were known before time began. This was always a matter of astonishment, you know, unto Paul. In much of the language that he uses, he realizes and confesses his utter inability to comprehend the magnitude and the greatness of that grace which had been bestowed upon him wholly and solely in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, he ever had in his understanding and his recollection what he was by nature. He had constantly before him, as he so oft times mentions it in these epistles, those seasons wherein he was an enemy of God, an enemy by wicked work. One who was fighting and rebelling against God. And yet he says, oh, the amazing wonder that God in his infinite grace and his manifested favor should so from all eternity have given me that place in the person and work of Jesus, whereby I should be brought so to be made a partaker of the heavenly riches of that grace. If your conversion, my dear hearer, if that wherein you have been made alive unto the things of God doth never cause you any astonishment or amazement, I very much doubt as to whether you are a Christian. If you are, then you will fall down at his feet. You will glorify and adore that wonderful grace of your Father in Christ Jesus, that he, in the greatness of the love that he bore towards you and of which Paul speaks in our text, that in the greatness of the love that he bore towards you, he gave that gift Yes, which is beyond all defining. But that gift of his only begotten Son, that he should so come and represent you in his own person before the Father, in everything that he did, in everything that he wrought, in all that was connection, that was in connection with his atonement, that in it all there was the presentation of yourself in him. I am crucified with Christ. There is the setting forth in the only begotten Son of God, that wherein there is the answer unto the infinite holiness and the righteousness of God. It is according to the will of God and our Father. Let me here for a moment stay and remind you that if aught of the work of grace has indeed been commenced within my heart, it is bound to be carried on. It is bound to be effectual in that wherein God has so appointed the end. Why? Because it is according to his will. And he is in one mind, and who can change him? There is nothing in the whole universe which shall ever be able, as it were, to persuade him to act in a different way, which is not in accordance with his own will concerning you. Let the devil come. Let the whole host of hell come. Let everything that relates unto sin and its evil and the world and the flesh, let them all come, and they shall find that they are confounded, that they are indeed brought to naught by that divine and infinite and immutable will of God towards you in Christ Jesus. No wonder he declared that they are kept as the very apple of his eye. But again, let us remember the wonder of it. He says it is according to the will of God and our Father. What is this will? What is that purpose? That grace, that peace, might be in your possession as you are found in Christ Jesus in all his substitutionary work on your behalf on Calvary's tree. It is there that God accounted for that which was relative unto the sins of his people. He who is infinitely holy, who can with no degree look upon sin, nevertheless, in that infinite righteousness, so gave of his only begotten Son, that in him, the sinless one, the one who was separate from sinners, the one who was undefiled, that in him there might indeed be that wherein there is a lamb without blemish, one who may indeed offer a pure offering unto God, render a sacrifice for this people, taking upon himself the burden of that which God hath laid upon him. What that burden was, it is indefinable. We cannot conceive it. That he, the holy and the sinless one, should in that precious manhood so have endured that wherein the sin of all his people was laid upon him. But divinity's indwelling grace sustained him till nature was dead. In everything that he did, there is to be found that which is relative unto the fact that it is Emmanuel, God with us. God in his infinite perfection, in his sinlessness, rendering unto God all that his divine justice required at the hands of them who had sinned against his holy law. Yes, here is one then who by reason of that offering gives such a blessed and a glorious and an eternal efficacy unto it. There is no need for the offering to be repeated. There is no need for that which is even maybe taking down, being going on down the road this morning, wearing that which is relative unto substantiation. There may be the setting forth in the wafer that which they declare is a part of the body of Christ. Oh no, let us remember, it's only a simple fact, but it may clear the way in some person's mind, that when he broke the bread unto his disciples and said, "This is my body which is broken for you," he was there in person at that time. I repeat it, he was there in person at that time. No, that which is relative unto the element, the sign, is but the symbol and the setting forth of the great work which he was going to perform for his people. So he gave himself for our sins. He gave himself. What a wonderful expression that is. Don't you think we oft times read the word of God very glibly and flippantly? Oh yes, we pass over these little words and these small sentences as though, oh well, they're all a part of that which is recorded in the chapter, and we forget that in those significant paragraphs there are the great depths. There is to be found the hidden treasure. And we do well when we are brought to meditate and to contemplate, not in that wherein we may so retain within our minds Scripture, but in that wherein we are brought in the Word to behold him and to see him and to receive him, and to know him as our own personal Savior and Redeemer. Yes, here is he who is the express image of his person, the brightness of the Father's glory. Here is he who took upon himself that nature of thine, yet without sin, that he, having your name recorded in his heart, might indeed undertake for you that which he knew you could never possibly do for yourself, and that outside himself you must be utterly lost. Destruction could be your only end. And so, in the infinite love of that one who loved me and gave himself for me, he took upon himself that which related unto your own case, bore it to the cross, rendered unto God all that justice required, sent forth the triumphant cry, "It is finished," commits his spirit unto his Father, rises again on that third day. And now he is in glory. And now his eye is upon us at this very moment. Yea, he is very near unto his people. True, he is always near in that which relates unto the whole of the universe. But he is peculiarly and blessedly near unto them who are brought to know what sinners they are, what dependence they alone have in him, that all the blessings, even in that wherein in the very babe, and God hath revealed these things unto babes, and it is in this that the Lord Jesus Christ gloried, inasmuch unto the worldly wise and the prudent these things were hidden, but to the one who becomes as a little child, and except he becomes such, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven, then unto such a babe who doesn't know everything at once, a babe in whom it takes time for discernment and understanding and so forth, but even unto the babe he is pleased. So to convey the blessings of what? Of eternal life. That which he giveth shall grow. What he giveth shall bear fruit to his honor and glory. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Do you understand these truths? Do you say, yes, I do understand them, because I believe that through the grace of God in Christ Jesus, he hath made these things known to me by the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit hath taken the things of Christ, and he's made him very precious and very dear unto your soul. You couldn't exist without him now, could you? Your whole life, as it were, would seem to be such a blank, such an emptiness, apart from this dear friend, this lover of your soul, to whom you can have recourse. Yes, that he might deliver you from this present evil world. Deliverance. We're all a part of fallen mankind. We have nothing to boast of against another. No, not one single degree of boasting. If I look around, if I see them whose eyes are blinded, that they cannot see the blessedness of the gospel, I remind myself, that's me. That is exactly the position in which I was in. Oh, yes, I may have been brought up by godly parents. It may have been a habitual practice with me to have so attended upon the means of grace. But in that which is relative to any real personal intimate realization of union with Christ, I was utterly destitute of it. It meant nothing to me. It was foolishness, nonsense. Such it always is unto the world. The world by wisdom knew not God. And everything that relates unto the gospel is absolute nonsense unto him. The natural mind cannot receive the things of the Spirit. He may theorize, he may philosophize about these things, but it doesn't bring him into the realization of his own state and condition. Why? Because he's always working and striving for something that he may attain to in and of himself. he has not the glory of God in view. But art thou then delivered from this present evil world? Oh yes, you are not what you were. You live in the world, you're still a part of it. It is the life which you now live in the flesh. It is like our Lord said in his intercessory prayer, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. And he has put into your heart that which is the communication of his grace to you in Christ Jesus. That you have a different taste. You have a different outlook. You have a different mind to that which the world possesses. You can find it when you talk with such. Why, to them it doesn't mean a thing, and it means everything to you. To them it is sheer, oh, they might say that the man is indeed mad. Why, they called Paul mad, didn't they? And yet you were never more sane in your life than when you could declare what the grace of God had done to you. So we see that I have said these things as the foundation, as it were, unto the testimony of Paul, which he is now giving vent to. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now you know, Paul's heart was very troubled. It almost, when you read this epistle to the Church of Galatians, as though you can detect the agonizing of his own mind and soul relative unto certain people who were so found in connection with this glorious truth which he is setting forth before them. He said, I came to you. He said, and I preached the gospel of Christ. I then made known unto you these glorious truths, and ye heard them, and ye received them, and ye professed them. But oh, he said, even in that wherein there was the ingathering, there was the ingathering likewise unawares of those who were only out, as it were, to spy out and to seek out your liberty in Christ, that wherein you had your rejoicing in him and him alone, and they tried to almost, as it were, declare unto you a different gospel. He said they perverted the gospel. And why? Because these Judaical people who had come amongst them would so have this people, so to revert unto that which was relative unto the law, to those things which had been so involved in all the temple worship and ritual. They wanted them to come back to circumcision. Oh yes, they wanted to mix the gospel with that which was relative to their own works. And he says, oh foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you, Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? And such was his indignation against them that troubled them, that he declared, I would that they were even cut off that troubled you. You say, what extravagant language. It was needful in the circumstances. Here were they who were seeking to draw many of these people away from that blessed liberty which they possessed in Christ crucified. So he comes down to his own personal testimony. He declared that through the law he was dead to the law, and that he might live unto God. He said, I am crucified with Christ. You know, there are three things in our text. There is set before us crucifixion with Christ. And I attest unto it that every one of us, if we are indeed saved according to the will of God in Christ Jesus, will be brought to know that we were, that we are crucified with Christ. And if we are crucified with Christ, then there is Christ living in the believer. He says, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And as the result of Christ living in the believer, there is the experience and the fruit that cometh forth from such a union. Listen for a moment unto that which relates unto the testimony of Paul in this matter. What is he declaring? He says, I am in union with him. I am crucified with Christ. Or, when it pleased God to reveal his Son in him, on that way which he was taking to Damascus, it changed the whole of the individual. Noting that wherein in his own flesh and in his own nature there was change, but it was in that wherein there was, in that revelation which was given unto him, an entirely new conception and realization of the one against whom he had been fighting, the one whom he had been persecuting, and of that wherein he had thought that he had been magnifying God in the keeping of the law and so forth, he had been directly doing the very opposite. So he says, when that glorious Jesus so shone forth into my soul in the radiance of that light which blinded my eyes for the time to all outward things, shut me up unto the inward glory of that radiance which filled my soul, that wrought in me such prayer, such desires, such longings, such confessions, and then to know that glorious fact, that the God who had appeared unto me on the way to Damascus was that God, yes, that God who had come to give him his sight, that God who had come to give him a realization of the truth of that wherein true religion did consist. And he said, I owed it everything to him. Everything that I was brought then to see concerning my former blindness. Everything that I was brought to see concerning my own working, trying to obtain righteousness in and of myself. Ah, when he came and he showed me these things, Paul went out of the light altogether. Paul went out of the picture. There was only one that remained, and that was Christ. And he became all things unto me, and I possessed everything in him. And why? Because in that blessed atoning work which he had effected, and obviously Paul was a witness, because he declares, henceforth we know no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh. He had known him, persecuted him, crucified him. Yes, and yet in all that where he had been so engaged, there is brought home to his soul the necessity of that which Christ had done for him. And what had he done for him? He had opened his eyes, unstopped his ears, given him a right understanding of the word of God, even as he went into Arabia and there studied the word of God before he returned to Damascus to preach the glorious gospel in all its fullness. O sinner, if thou art crucified with Christ, thou shalt likewise have a testimony to give. It shall be a testimony of that wherein you have been brought into union with him. You will say, what have made me to differ? Why this difference in me? I can't boast in myself of anything that I have done. So that I am now the recipient of this is the result of what the will of God in Christ Jesus has done for me. He's done it all. And so he says, I was in Christ. Otherwise I should never have known these things. The very revelation of Christ unto him, the hope of glory, as he declares. Why, it is in that revelation that he saw everything in Christ, and he saw that wherein he had been crucified with Christ. And he declares that in my life I am crucified with Christ. Yes, he saw that blessed substitute. It wasn't what he had done. It was what that glorious substitute had done for him. Oh, as all that which is relative to the mountains of sin may rise up before him. He looks at the blessed Lamb of God. He looks at that one who died for sinners. And his eyes are opened unto the love that so freely gave of this blessed gift for him. This substitute. This one who represented him. For he had, for that is Jesus, had no need to die for himself. It was only in that, wherein Paul was involved. And blessed be God if you can say, and I too was involved. Well, if we know that, there is going to be a blessed effect. And Paul is telling them that this is the effect. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I. Cross it out, take it away, not I, but Christ liveth in me. Oh, go away now and ponder over this blessed and wonderful revelation of love of God in Christ Jesus. Ponder it. Meditate upon it. That herein God is satisfied. Herein the poor sinner who by faith looks unto Jesus as his only hope of salvation is justified. Never to suffer condemnation, but justified freely by his grace. One with Jesus, I am crucified with Christ. Amen.
To know my Jesus crucified, thy power excels all things beside. All earthly good I count but loss, triumph in my Savior's cross. 771.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of God the Holy Ghost be with us each evermore. Amen.